Hello, my name is Stanley Bill. You're listening to Notes from Poland. This week, I'm talking to Ben Stanley about Poland's upcoming presidential elections. We'll discuss the prospects of the two frontrunners, the LGBT controversy, Donald Trump's apparent intervention, and the minor candidates of the left and far right. NotesFromPoland.com is the leading English language source of news, insight, and analysis on Poland. In this podcast, I look at the country from all angles: politics, history, culture, and society. You can get more news and the deeper stories about Poland at notesfrompoland.com. This week, my guest is Ben Stanley, an expert in Polish politics based at SWPS University in Warsaw. Welcome to the podcast, Ben.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Next Sunday, June 28, the first round of Poland's presidential elections are scheduled to take place. To say that this campaign has been eventful would be an understatement, even by the standards of Polish politics. In fact, it's really been two campaigns. The first one leading up to an originally scheduled first round that never took place during the coronavirus lockdown. That was on May 10. And then the current campaign, which has seen the largest opposition grouping switch its floundering former candidate, Małgorzata Kidawa-Błońska, for a new one, Rafał Trzaskowski, and a series of controversies around the anti-LGBT rhetoric of President Duda's campaign, and most recently, even an apparent intervention from US President Donald Trump. Well, what is the current situation, Ben? Who are the front runners to get through to a second round? As far as I understand, we're going to have one. Duda, who is leading the polls and has done all along in the first round, has very little chance of winning outright. So how does it look at this point?
Yeah, everything is pointing in the direction of a second round. At the moment, Duda is on around 42%. Trzaskowski is some 10% behind him, so he's on about 32%. Then we have a big gap to the also-rans. So we have Szymon Hołownia on 11%, Krzysztof Bosak on 7%.
So Hołownia, he's the independent, sort of conservative, yep, centrist candidate?
Yep. Then we have the radical right candidate, Krzysztof Bosak. He's on 7%. Then the Polish People's Party candidate, Władysław Kosiniak-Kamysz, who's on 5%. And finally, we have Robert Biedron, who's the candidate of the left, on 3%. So that's the first round. In the second round, Duda, this is obviously a face-off between Duda and Trzaskowski. And here things are very close. Duda is probably still just shading it, but there is no real statistically significant difference between the two candidates polling at the moment. And over the last couple of weeks, there have been a number of polls in which Trzaskowski has actually been coming out first, which suggests that, you know, things are pretty much as even as it gets.
And there's been a certain trajectory here as well. So what we've seen is the narrowing of the gap between the two of them over the last few weeks. Can you talk a little bit about that dynamic? What's gone wrong with Duda's campaign that his numbers have dropped in the way that they have? And what's gone right for Trzaskowski, on the other hand?
Yeah. There are three things here, I think. One is the fact that we have an electoral campaign which has returned to normal, in the sense that we no longer have quite the same restrictive conditions that we had in mid-May that put paid to the elections then. So what we're seeing is really a reversion.
With the coronavirus lockdown, yep, in that sense, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we're seeing is a reversion to the situation that we saw in February and March, where things were a lot closer. The second factor is Trzaskowski is clearly a better candidate than his predecessor and has been able to make up more of the gap that still existed between Duda that existed previously between Duda and Kidawa-Błońska. And I think that the third thing is that Duda has been caught somewhat on the hop by Trzaskowski's gain in the polls. I think previously the assumption was in peace that the gap was sufficient to allow Duda to be fairly comfortable of getting re-elected. Not really that he was coasting to victory, but that he didn't really have to do all that much to stay ahead of Kidawa-Błońska, who was fading in February and March. Now Trzaskowski has entered the race. This has given the race new dynamism, and he's the one who looks like he's setting the tone. That has led Duda and his campaign to make tactical mistakes over the last few weeks, which could have a significant impact on the final result.
And the response seems to have been to reach to some old strategies, the anti-LGBT rhetoric. We've even seen some dog whistle anti-Semitism on public television, anti-migrant rhetoric. What's going on here? Is there a sense of panic in the ruling party?
It certainly seems to be the case over the last couple of weeks, and almost particularly since the LGBT gambit seems to have failed. I think that Trzaskowski was always a candidate that they were going to have to be more worried about than Kidawa-Błońska. As somebody who has recently won in convincing fashion the Warsaw mayoral election against a peace candidate, he's somebody who clearly has some electoral pedigree to a greater extent as a sort of an independent candidate than Kidawa-Błońska had. So I think that they know that now they're up against a different kind of opponent. He's not the sort of emollient and quite often quite vague sort of campaigner that Kidawa-Błońska was. He's somebody who is prepared to be quite confrontational. He's been, you know, as we've seen with in his dealings with public media, has been quite abrupt in the way that he's treated them. So I think that sense they have that they're dealing with a different quantity has unnerved peace, as has the fact that he is clearly someone who is capable of pushing Duda right to the final line.
I mean, you've also talked about a potential mistake they made in forcing him to gather signatures as a fresh candidate, that may have backfired.
Yeah.
Can you explain that context?
Well, of all of the candidates that are participating, Trzaskowski was the only one who had to, after the new amendments to the electoral law were passed to allow the election to happen on the 28th of June, he was the only one of the candidates that had to collect signatures to get onto the ballot. All of the others had previously done this at their leisure during the initial electoral campaign for the abortive May the 10 elections. And so there was a point at which I think peace thought, well, we can sort of put a few stumbling blocks in his way and shorten the period that he has to get to collect these signatures. They ended up shortening it to 5 days. I think the Senate wanted them to give him 10, and they ended up ultimately the new amendments ended up giving Trzaskowski 5 days to collect these signatures. And what this did was to push Trzaskowski into a situation where he had immediately to mobilize the resources that he had at his disposal to collect these signatures as quickly as possible. So what this situation brought about was a dynamic start to Trzaskowski's campaign. You had immediately his party workers were going out collecting signatures, conscious of the fact that they had to do so quickly, that they had to do so within this 5 day period. And this was all broadcast on social media, was, will he or won't he make it, was a question that was being asked at the time. And what this gave the impression of was of a dynamic campaign, of a capable electoral machine, that really people didn't have much of a sense of during Kidawa-Błońska's campaign. So the mistake that peace made here really was to force Trzaskowski to begin his campaign by showing how well he could respond to a challenge. And that has really set the tone for his campaign since. And they haven't really been able to respond to it with anything convincing from Duda.
Now, you suggested that the anti-LGBT campaign, and this of course has been on public media, that there's been fear-mongering sort of associating Trzaskowski in particular through his activities as mayor of Warsaw, where he introduced this LGBT charter, which was intended to introduce various sort of mechanisms for respect for people in schools and other public institutions. But they've used this to suggest that Trzaskowski wants to start a kind of culture war, and that that would be his idea as president, and that this is a danger, and that Duda is protecting families from this danger. That's been presented on public television. Duda has presented it very strongly at his rallies, where he described LGBT ideology in inverted commas as neo-Bolshevism and said that it was worse than communism. Isn't there a sense in which this is the way that peace mobilizes the base of its electorate, is get people scared, get people hyped up, and make sure that the core electorate gets out there on election day and votes? Is it a salient issue for voters? Is that an effective strategy? Why do you say that it's backfired?
Well, I think that you're half right in the sense that it is important for the base. The LGBT issue and the sense that there is that Polish politics is undergoing a sort of culture war of this sort is relevant and is part of Peace's rhetoric, both at campaign time and in ordinary periods of ordinary politics. But I think that the issue here is that it's not really something that people look for at election time. It's not really it's an issue that defines differences. It's an issue that allows Peace to present itself as a particular kind of party in opposition to a party like Koalicja Obywatelska or indeed other parties in parliament. But what it doesn't do is to provide a clear point of orientation for the electorate election time. I don't think that many voters really believe that a particular election constitutes a choice between the civilizational choice that Peace is trying to frame, clearly trying to frame this election as. So it's an issue which I think is relevant to Polish politics, and that cultural war dimension is certainly and has been for a number of years a significant part of Polish politics, but it isn't really a focal point of an election campaign in the same way that, say, the 500-plus child benefit was in 2015 or the refugee issue was in 2015. And we can see this from the way in which there has been really no apparent benefit to Duda from articulating this. All he has really done is to...
Polling, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and in domestic terms, all he's really done here is to draw opprobrium from overseas, and again to get Poland a lot of negative coverage abroad, which doesn't necessarily go down well with the kind of people he's trying to court in this election.
In the center of the electorate,
And that's the other issue here. The issue of a culture war over LGBT rights is going to fire up some of the base, but it's not going to allow Duda to get some of the more moderate voters that he needs. We're not dealing with a parliamentary election where the goal is to be to get enough to get a majority in parliament. We're dealing with an election where it's winner takes all, where you've got to get 50% plus one.
Yep.
And nobody is going to get 50% plus one in Poland without making at least some overtures to people who aren't necessarily interested in polarizing politics of culture wars and things like that.
I suppose one of the calculations is that they want to try to pull the far right vote their way, the vote of Krzysztof Bosak, who we might talk about a little bit later, into Duda's camp in the second round, and that pulling in those voters, there might be enough of those that you don't need as many voters from the centre. Is that part of the calculation?
Well, I can only assume that it must be. I think that Duda is certainly counting on being able to try to hive off some of Bosak's voters from the first round in his second round campaign. But I don't think there is really enough there. Bosak is on 7%. Some of those are going to abstain in the second round. Some of them may go to Trzaskowski. And that doesn't necessarily leave Duda with many more voters to take into his second round campaign. And what he may end up doing is alienating more voters in the centre ground than he gains by going to the right to get some of those people who would previously have voted for Bosak.
Yeah.
So I think it's a miscalculation in the sense that the kind of voters that he needs to appeal to are not voters who are going to respond particularly well to this sort of issue. And the kind of voters who are going to respond to it are not necessarily voters who he is going to be able to capture for a number of other reasons.
That's right. I mean, some of those voters are just very turned off by Peace's social redistribution side, so they won't want to vote for him for that reason. Or they're just far more extreme, and so whatever he's saying about neo-Bolshevism doesn't suffice. But now there is another aspect here, and I think we need to sort of pivot, talk a little bit about Shostakovsky himself, whose candidacy at this point, although it's obviously been dynamic and strong and combative and has been, you know, very successful start, is still not very distinctive in terms of what he stands for. Now, one of the things obviously that might also be connected with this anti-LGBT strategy is precisely that it's intended to make life difficult for Shostakovsky. He also has to try to talk to a few different electorates. He has to talk to a more liberal, more progressive, even left electorate that he'll need in the second round. And he has to talk to those who are right in the centre of the Polish scene. So quite conservative by any broader European standard, but sort of centrist in Poland. And the LGBT issue is difficult for him, isn't it? I mean, he hasn't wanted to say openly in this campaign, he's dodged the question of whether he would sign off on a gay marriage law, for example, if on the very unlikely occasion that it was passed by the parliament. So isn't that part of the strategy to make life very difficult to bring this very uncomfortable issue up for Shostakovsky that splits his electorate? And then in general, what's your sense of where Shostakovsky is trying to position himself with respect to ideas?
Well, I think Shostakovsky faces many of the same problems as Duda, in the sense that he has different electorates that he's trying to balance and is trying to satisfy in order to have enough to cross the 50% mark. I don't think any presidential candidate in Poland would be able to win a presidential election on their base alone. Shostakovsky is no exception here. So I think that the LGBT issue was certainly intended to try to drive a wedge between the sort of the moderate conservatives that he'd been appealing to from the beginning of his campaign and the moderate conservatives that indeed are often supporters of Koalicja Obywatelska and were certainly happy to consider voting for Kidawa Błońska on the one hand, and those on the left that he will need to rely on for votes to get him over the line in the second round. We've seen with the LGBT issue, there have been a lot of people on the left who've been very unhappy with Shostakovsky's unwillingness to come out and straightforwardly condemn the LGBT ideology rhetoric and some of the more lurid ways in which it's been phrased, and have been wondering, you know, is this guy really our candidate? But Shostakovsky, I think, has realised that this was exactly the corner that Peace were trying to push him into, and has come to the conclusion that it's better overall to keep his counsel on this issue for the time being, rather than doing exactly what Peace want, which is to respond by making his campaign the other term in this culture war. So I think that Shostakovsky certainly is vulnerable on this issue, but he has played his hand pretty well in refusing to be drawn into the culture war dichotomizing that Peace have wanted to pursue over the last couple of weeks.
There's an unusual event that has entered into this campaign, and that is the invitation of President Duda to the White House by Donald Trump. That's happening later this week. 4 days before the election, there will be a meeting in the White House, and the expectation is there may even be an announcement of a relocation of some of the troops that Trump is withdrawing from Germany to Poland. Of course, the idea of having more US troops in Poland is a name that's shared by most sides of Polish politics, and most voters would feel quite positively about that with respect to Polish security. Now, Trump's own reasons for this invitation might include appealing to the Polish-American vote for his own presidential campaign, a desire to take a swipe at Angela Merkel and Germany, partly with a view to making a point about the 2% NATO commitment to defence spending, which, as he has emphasised, Germany does not meet, but Poland does. But there's also a sense here of his support for a Polish president and ruling party that he might see as ideological allies against the establishment global liberal order, as he understands it. Is Trump trying to intervene in Poland's elections? And do you think this will work?
Well, you know, as always with Trump, it's not always necessarily wise to assume that what looks logical from our perspective is necessarily how he envisaged it. It's certainly, you know, given that it's so close to an election, it's a very irregular way for the US to be conducting itself politically with respect to the democratic processes of another country, at least. So in that respect, it's it looks certainly like an attempt to intervene. What I think this does is to offer Duda an opportunity to reposition his campaign at the last moment in accordance with areas of policy where we might be more likely to expect a president to be able to make a contribution. The presidency does have foreign policy competences, even if they're not particularly clearly defined. And it is, by its very nature, an area of policy in which we tend to associate the president to a greater extent. So I think in that respect, it gives Duda an opportunity to move away from the issues such as the LGBT ideology controversy, which have not really been serving him particularly well, and to make some more presidential looking moves at the end of the campaign that may serve to remind some wavering floating voters of the fact that we're dealing with somebody who has a presidential experience here and somebody who can actually go and speak to people in the international arena and get things done. I think that's certainly
and he's had quite good relations with Trump, yeah, as well. It would be fair to say, obviously, they share some ideological proclivities with, yeah, the sort of general nativist idea.
Poles are quite Atlanticist in their orientation as well. I think the fact that this is something that Duda is going to be achieving in terms of the I think he will be the first head of state to visit the White House since lockdown. So I think that is something that in terms of prestige and in terms of the general generally positive Atlanticist orientation of peace and its electorate is something that I think could potentially be a game changer at the end of the first round campaign. I still don't think it will be enough to get him over the line, to get him the votes that he needs to win in the first round, but it could still resonate in the second round campaign.
Also, I mean, it depends a bit on what happens and how, yeah, how the visit goes, obviously, and how it's received and precisely what is announced. But your sense is it is possible that this could have an influence. It could favor Duda. So if Trump's intent is to influence Poland's elections, it's possible that could happen.
I think that it is, it's likely to work in the sense that it is going to probably result in Duda picking up a few percentage points that he might not necessarily have otherwise gained, and certainly wouldn't have gained through things like the LGBT ideology controversy. Whether that will be enough to get him the votes that he needs, I doubt that will be the case, where he's trying to make up an 8 or 9% deficit to get to 50%. even if his allies in the public media really push this issue towards the end of the first round campaign, I still don't think that it will do enough to get him over the line, unless there is something really big that he has been able to secure for Poland.
On the subject of the public media, obviously there's extraordinary bias in favour of Duda. There's been a campaign against Trzaskowski every day, the most extraordinary hit pieces against the opposition candidate and pieces in praise of Duda. On the other hand, the overall media scene in Poland is pluralist, and there are commercial offerings that are very critical of PiS and Duda and quite supportive of Trzaskowski. So in that general context, do you think the campaign is fair with respect to the media coverage, or do you think the propaganda that's being pumped out in the public media actually reaches the point of impacting the fairness of these elections?
Well, I think that the expectation is that in a democracy, the public media has a specific role to play, and that role is to be scrupulous in its even-handedness when it comes to coverage of political figures, both during periods of ordinary politics, but particularly at times of heightened attention to politics, such as election campaigns. And that clearly hasn't been the case. So in that sense, it is not it's not upholding the principles that we would expect a public broadcaster to abide by. In that sense, it contributes to a built-in advantage for Duda, which is clearly not in accordance with an election being fair. And the question, I think, is not so much whether it's having a negative impact on the election in terms of in legal terms, making it an election which isn't free and fair, and more to the extent that is it actually having a material impact on the election. And on that latter point, I'm not sure that it really is. Despite what public media broadcasters have been doing over the last few weeks in particular, and I mean things have got more and more grotesque as we've gone on, it doesn't really seem to have diminished Trzaskowski's support to any significant extent. It also doesn't really seem to have have done anything to help Duda increase his figures. So I think in that respect, it's it doesn't seem to be helping Duda nearly as much as presumably it was hoped that it would. Even so, regardless of whether it's helping Duda or not, it really doesn't suggest that that Poland's media culture is healthy from the perspective of its political coverage.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not the public media of a democracy, which Poland remains a democracy, but the public media is certainly more in that authoritarian direction.
I think that there is this perception that because the public media favours Duda, that this helps balance out some of the private media biases we see elsewhere. But you know, obviously, this isn't the role of a public broadcaster, regardless of what the private media is doing.
I mean, the other distinction here, of course, is that none of the private media stations have essentially the party strategist sitting at their head and directly coordinating the propaganda that will go out on any given day, so that the newsroom is the party propaganda room. That is not the case with commercial stations that are indeed very biased against PiS in many cases, mostly for the commercial reasons of who their viewers are, but certainly who are ideologically predisposed towards the Liberal parties. We know that.
Yeah. And I think, to be honest, things have got so grotesque in the way that public media has been presenting the electoral campaign, and in particular the way in which they've been attacking Trzaskowski, that it doesn't really resonate anymore. It's almost become a kind of background noise. You expect Wiadomości and TVP Info to go overboard in their criticism of Trzaskowski. It's almost as if it isn't really something that people take all that seriously. There must be a reason why they're doing it, but they clearly are convinced that it's resonating with someone. But we're reaching the point now where it is just, it's so over the top and so almost so easy to caricature that it's hard to see how it's going to really to help Duda get over the line.
That's right. I mean, it does look that way. But then again, as you suggest, you come back to, I mean, they have these surveys that they do and a lot of data that they're working on. I mean, that is driving the kind of propaganda that they're putting out there. So you just assume that they must have clear information that tells you that it's effective, that tells them that it's effective. But then
I would assume the same was true with the LGBT issue, but that doesn't really seem to have done anything much for them. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to conclude with a couple of the minor candidates who are not going to get through to the second round, but I think to talk about them gives a little bit of a sense of where the overall trajectory of the Polish political scene might be. And that's to look in particular at the left candidate, Robert Biedroń, and the far-right candidate, if we can call him that, of Konfederacja, Krzysztof Bosak. So if you could just tell us a little bit about the trajectory in the polling of those two and what it might tell us about the future of the left and the future of the far right in Poland, where those groupings could be headed.
Well, these are two candidates who, while there's obviously a lot that separates them, they have in common the fact that they are really based in niches and are struggling to broaden their appeal beyond those niches. I think Bosak has been more successful in this campaign than Biedroń has.
Can I just interject to say that in itself, what you're saying is quite telling to say that in Poland what would be a fairly centrist democratic left in many European countries of what Biedroń and his grouping represents is as much of a niche in Poland as a far-right candidate would be. Would you really give that sense of parallelism there?
Yeah, I mean, it is in the sense that the core of the left's appeal, I think, is limited in terms of the percentage of the electorate that they can expect to be able to capture. They have always had to go beyond their what might be their ideologically natural constituency to look for votes. To a certain extent, everyone has had to do that, but it's much easier for parties of the centre-right to project a broader appeal that draws in different constituencies. The left struggles from having to match up the sort of the classic left wing offering of socially sensitive policies and economic interventionism with cultural progressivism. This is a recipe that works elsewhere, but not really in Poland. On the right, the room for manoeuvre is constrained by the fact that peace have really attempted to try to stifle any parties and movements that are to the right of them by adopting their policies, their rhetoric, and essentially almost removing their raison d'etre.
Well, this is actually really interesting because peace has really stifled both of the groupings that you've just talked about by adopting their raison d'etre. So, I mean, peace has adopted the left-wing economics, if we can call it that, the sort of the redistributionist policies that have been very, very popular, the social benefit schemes. So that's sort of taken away from the left and reduced some of its manoeuvring space. But it's also obviously taken some of the radicalism or the very conservative rhetoric that you might associate with the far-right parties, and so therefore it limits. So it's sort of peace has in a way pushed both of these groupings into corners to some extent. Would you agree with that?
I think that both the left and the far right take as their first main point of reference law and justice, because you know, for the left, law and justice has captured the voters that might previously have voted for a party of the left who, here I have in mind voters who are looking for a party that is primarily going to protect them from sort of from the from the harsh winds of the market.
So the old post-communist SLD voters, for example.
Yeah. And on the right, these are what Peace has been very successful at doing is incorporating, making an offer for those voters on the right of the spectrum who are perhaps somewhat more interested in sociocultural issues than in economic issues, that want a party that is going to push the issues of social conservatism, that is going to be very pro-church in its orientation, or is going to be quite nationalistic and nativistic in its rhetoric. That caters for a lot of people who might otherwise be inclined to vote for a far-right party such as Bosak's Confederacja. So I think that Peace is the main point of orientation for these parties in terms of the fact that it has locked up many of the voters that are that these parties are going for, and has successfully appealed to them and mobilized them over the last few years.
If we compare the two, we're looking at about 3% in the polling at the moment for Robert Biedron of the left, and 7% for Krzysztof Bosak of Konfederacja, the far right. So, I mean, it's very disappointing for the left parties, the performance that they have put in with their candidate, and very promising from the point of view of Konfederacja, of Bosak's appearance in this campaign. I mean, how do you assess the difference between those two dynamics?
I think that the dynamics that we've seen are, to a significant extent, attributable to the kinds of candidates that the two parties have put forward. I think that Biedron is not the kind of presidential candidate that the left needs at this point in time. I think he is, by his nature, an emollient and consensus-seeking politician who is more oriented towards the centre ground than perhaps others on the left are. And this this isn't helping the left stake out a distinct position and be more vocal and more aggressive in its fight for votes. And I think that we've seen in the presidential campaign evidence of this, in the sense that Biedron has just pretty much faded into the background. One more consensus-seeking, vaguely centrist politician among a slate of candidates in which there are other candidates who fulfill that role.
Yep.
Where Bosak is concerned, I think that Konfederacja's relative success so far can be attributed to the fact that he has done a very good job of packaging what are some fairly unpalatable policies in a more acceptable format, and doing so in a way which is sort of compatible with the general idioms of mainstream political campaigning. He's not a tub-thumping, demagogic, radical right campaigner. He's No. not the sort of person who's going to stand on a crate and sort of whip up the masses into a fervor. He almost comes across as a reasonable, moderate, technocratic politician that often, to the extent that you forget just how out there some of his policies are and some of his rhetoric is. And I think that that has...
Which kind of rhetoric?
I think with Bosak we see somebody who, in terms of his policies and in terms of his ideas and his the values that animate his political offering, is very much in the mold of a classical radical right politician. He has, for example, been at the forefront of raising concerns about Jewish restitution, about the threat posed by Islam the form of refugees, and in terms of, and also the kind of the extent of immigration that we've seen from countries outside the EU over the last few years, in particular from countries where there are significant Muslim minorities. And
he wants to take Poland out of the EU.
Yeah, well, and there there is that element as well. I mean, he's somebody who has positions on issues which are clearly expressed, clearly compatible with the radical right in Europe more generally. And where he differs from the sorts of radical right politicians that we've tended to see in Poland before, and indeed many people within his own party, is that he is able to package this in a way which comes across to more moderate voters as quite reasonable. I think that he is picking up some support among voters who may not necessarily hold his opinions in a number of areas, but see him as somebody who is articulate, good in debate, able to hold his own in Polish politics while representing a set of ideas and values that he clearly believes in. And I think that that plays well with not only with people who would support the radical right, but also some of the more moderate conservatives who are looking for somebody who is going to speak up in favor of conservative values.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been quite an impressive performance from him, and possibly consolidates his group. And we do, you wonder what happens after peace potentially breaks apart when Kaczynski leaves the scene, whether you see Konfederacja joining forces with some of the more conservative wings of peace and its allies, particularly around the Justice Minister Ziobro and his minor party. That's all possibly in the future of Polish politics, and perhaps this relatively strong performance, which consolidates Konfederacja's strong performance in the parliamentary elections, is a sign of that steady move in that direction. That I remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think that the presidential elections are always, to some extent, a sort of shop window for minor party candidates that don't necessarily have much of a chance of coming first or even second or third for that matter, but can use the visibility that you get as a presidential candidate in order to increase your political status, to increase your visibility among the electorate, and to generally to sort of position yourself as a potential future leader or major player on the political scene. People like Bosak are a known quantity, as is Biedron, but the extra exposure that you get from a presidential campaign certainly can't hurt in terms of the role that you might play in Polish politics in the future.
Yep.
And I think that Bosak is certainly somebody who would be well positioned to form a new radical right, a broader radical right movement in the event of law and justice falling apart after Kaczynski departs the scene, whenever that may happen. This is certainly, this is the big unknown of Polish politics. What is going to happen when that formation...
Post-Kaczynski.
No longer has its major link to hold it together. Is it going to be able to carry on in the same way that... that Civic Platform has been able to more or less to carry on since Donald Tusk left, or is it going to fall apart into a number of different fragments? If it's the latter, someone like Bosak is going to be able to use the kind of extra visibility and public image that he has cultivated during this campaign to position himself as a potential leader of a radical right formation that might emerge out of the ashes of peace.
Well, in the more immediate future, we're going to find out who goes through to the second round of the Polish elections on Sunday. Krzysztof Bosak is unlikely to be among those candidates. It looks almost certain that we're going to see a Duda-Trzaskowski showdown. We might get back together again, potentially before the second round, to talk about what could well be a very different scene at that point in time. Thanks very much for joining me today on Notes from Poland.
Thank you.